Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey, Mike, pop quiz. What is the standard go-to method for emergency decon?
That's pretty easy. Wet decon, right?
Well, you know, you're not the only one that may be thinking that, but it's actually dry decon.
No. How many times have I heard dilution is the solution to pollution?
Actually, too many. And that's the issue. Makes sense if you think about it. Without the use of water, we don't need to spend extra time setting up traditional showers or pools, and there's no wastewater afterwards. And you're not going to freeze anybody to death if it's below 60 degrees.
Check out firstlinetech.com/drydecon. FirstLine Technology has a whole webpage dedicated to the methodology and links to plenty of dry decon resources. See for yourself why dry decon with FiberTech should be your go-to immediate decon solution.
You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of the Hazmat Guys. I'm Michael Monaco. Joined with me is Bob Salveson.
Yes.
How you doing today, Bob?
I'm doing ducky. Doing good. Yeah, doing good. Doing good. You know what? I just thought of, we were just recently on Strike the Box, which was another podcast that invited us on, and I tried to do my old Frozen
yes.
thing, and they all caught it. They were like, nope,
did
we're not
hear
buying it.
Anything? Was there anything afterwards? Did the guy text you and be
nothing.
Like the other? Nothing. That's so disappointing.
All right, so back in the – I'm sure we told the story real quick, but back in the day – oh, man, this has got to be –
early. It was the original Hazmat guy, the original round table.
2016, 2017, something like that. And I was drinking scotch on the air, and I thought it would be funny for me to really, really, really drink scotch. So I ran upstairs and I made a bottle, an empty bottle of scotch with tea. And I consumed the entire bottle on camera. And people were like, holy crap, look at this guy drink. And it was caffeinated, and I didn't sleep for like 3 days. It was the worst idea ever. But I did that for this show, and it went over pretty well. So anyway. Yeah, good times.
You know how we talk all the time, or we say in the beginning of the show, we talk about becoming a subscriber and a member because it gives certain access. And we talk about the happy hour.
Yeah.
Right. Which is totally unrecorded, which is phenomenal, by the way, because we can have a conversation. You can talk for real. The conversation doesn't go anywhere. It is not recorded. It ends when we hit end.
Yep.
Well, today's show is literally a throwback from a show that we did about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Really?
And on the Hazmat Guys private page, I won't give up his name because it totally shows he didn't listen to the show. There is a Facebook post, and I want to get into the Facebook post. But before we do that, do you have anything you want to throw out there? I don't think there's any shows coming up.
You got the Hazmat Instructor Conference down in Florida,
yes.
in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, with H3s, right? H3's conference,
and. And if you're having a conference, that's going to be November 13th, 14th, 14, 15, 16, I believe it is, out of Fort Lauderdale. So if you don't have that information, get in touch with us. You can send me an email and I'll forward it over to you, bob@thehazmatguys.com. And if you have a conference or a regional conference or something like that and you want to get mentioned on the show, hit us up and we'll get you on the newsletter and all that other stuff. The shirt locker for the FDNY hazmat company, the elite, the illustrious, benevolent,
the best of the mediocres.
It's at FDNYHazmat1.com. And also, if you're into cigars, use the promo code THMG for 15% off of mypatriotcigars.com and help out the show. And that's all.
Which are really good cigars.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a mishmash of a show because my ADD is really kicking in. There's an Adderall shortage across the country.
What?
So, yes, there's a methylphenidate shortage. So my ADD has been through the roof recently. Very difficult for me to focus and concentrate. So there's multiple things to talk about today. The first thing I want to talk about is really quick is how incredibly painful it can be to be sitting in a class. And I hope if this gets back to the instructor, he doesn't take it personally, okay, in which the guy has great information but is so tied to the PowerPoint that he destroys the class.
Yes.
He could so easily work off of his head, and you just see it. You see him being boxed in by the words on the screen, and I'm like – I'm dying inside, and it's a good class. It's a well set up class. I highly recommend it. It's Qualtech's radiation specialist class.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurt as somebody who teaches other instructors. I just wanted to go up and shut the computer off, hand him the reference material, and just go. Just
go, man.
Open to page one, and teach me what's on it. Just do that. Have a conversation with me about what's in this book. And by the time you're done with it, you will have taught everything that needed to be taught.
Right. With context.
With context. With context. Okay. So that's that. All right. Back to the Facebook post.
Yes.
All right. Mr. JR, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
He writes, here is the hazmat puzzle for the day. I'm stumped. Mm-hmm. I went to a refrigerator leak this morning in a basement of a hospital. Inside a walk-in freezer that is inside a walk-in refrigerator.
Yes.
Which all I can think of is like morgue. Like there's just like
people
just hanging like, how they age cattle. All right.
What was that movie? Hostel? I think it was like a scary movie. Whatever.
Yes. Anyway. Hostel. any one of those. That's just what I envisioned. I don't know why. The product the site uses in their system was R404 Alpha. They claim no other product is on site. Local fire department responded initially 2 days ago, found 20% of the LEL, and advised the staff to shut the doors and wait for the problem to resolve itself.
What was the number of LEL? Sorry.
20%.
Okay.
Hours. The run that we were on was about 15 to 20. So it's
okay.
Right and up in there. But let's just talk about this first one here. Local fire department responded initially 2 days ago, found 20% of the LEL and advised the staff to shut the door and wait for the problem to resolve itself.
I'm going to say in general, these problems don't resolve themselves.
Well, they do.
Right. Yeah. All bleeding eventually stops.
That's right. Yeah. All bleeding eventually stops. All fires eventually go out. All hazmat problems eventually resolve themselves. Probably not the path you want to go down.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's probably, I'm going to say, frowned on.
I would venture to say that is borderline negligence.
Yeah.
Like if, you brought the fire department into your place of work and they were like, no, everything is fine. And
you assume they can handle it.
Right. And then an hour later, it's not fine. And you called them. I would assume that there was some serious gross negligence. Like it's hard to prove negligence in like a court of law. I think that would be like, that is clearly within the bounds of like action levels need to be taken. And I don't think shutting the door is the proper action level. I don't think shutting the door is the proper action for that level.
Right. I'd agree. Yes.
So, Bob, what would be your suggestion for what they what the local department, not the hazmat. We'll get into the hazmat portion of this, but from a you're hearing this, you're like calling up, you're like, don't do that, do this instead. What would be your thought process?
I would say at the very minimum, just vent. At the very minimum, like, dude, I don't know anything. Like, I'm shooting from the hip, and I'm pretending to not know what R404A is, even though we just talked about it 4 weeks ago.
Right.
So I would say, hey, listen, you got to bring those levels down. Though, don't panic and don't run. Be professional. I would say open the doors, and let's get a little air moving around there. Yeah, but it's cold, and they're going to lose all the freezer. I get it. Right. But if that thing blows up, they're not going to have a freezer.
Right. At the very least, you ventilate, you close, you see if that, and then you evaluate your situation, right? Like if we look at this from an API process, which is what first responder operations are supposed to be going through according to NFPA, is that API process.
Right.
You have to you have to initiate a plan, then you have to evaluate. Like at the very least, you have to figure out if what you did made a difference. Closing the door and walking away is clearly not it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. So, so JR, whoever that department was, call them up and tell them that we're going to like, yeah, we're going to send them nasty letters or something.
Give them a little bit of a finger wagging.
Although, I don't know if JR is going to listen to it because apparently he subscribes, but he doesn't listen to the show. And I'm going to get an email like 6 months from now. Be like, no, I was just caught behind.
Who's joking, man?
Right. All right, so. Now on to the hazmat portion of this, the more of the technician part.
Okay.
I'm assuming that they came 2 days later, the hazmat team. We entered the walk-in freezer with an Altair 5-gas monitor.
Okay.
Which, for those of you that don't know, is electrochemical sensor and a PID. CAD bead. Right. No, not a P. Is there a PID on it?
The five is, unless they, you know what? There's not enough information. Could they have an added on electrochemical for like... You know, for chlorine.
Right. Well,
so when people say 5-gas, I'm very leery of that because we assume it's the standard 4-gas plus PID.
Right.
But people also call that my 4-gas plus chlorine or sulfur dioxide or whatever they have.
Right. That's true. But either way.
Yeah.
Either way, the CIG, the combustible gas indicator, is going to be CAD bead sensor.
Yes.
Which is an important bit of information because there are other sensors out there. Okay, so when they walked in, their O2 readings were 20.8, which he indicates is their baseline.
Perfect. Okay.
LEL at 6%. This is in the refrigerator.
This is days afterwards.
This is 2 days later.
Doors closed upon recommendation.
Right.
Went from 20 to 6, which... that means the leak is basically ended and it's working its way out.
Well, that's the leak in the walk-in refrigerator. The freezer was inside the refrigerator. So almost like a box inside of a box.
Box inside. Okay.
Right? The readings inside the walk-in freezer were O2 at 20.8 and LEL at 17.
So it didn't get any better.
It didn't get any better, but it also didn't get any worse. Which, when we find out what this is a pretty big, that light bulb, the fact that there was something leaking, right? So let me see if I can phrase this the right way. If I were to have a product leaking and I closed the door and came back 2 days later, would you expect it to be the same LEL, barring it's not 100, right? Or would you have expected the LEL to rise? Would you expect the concentration of the gas to rise?
Hey, listeners. The Hazmat Guys have some great news for you and your organization. We are really stepping up our brand of in-person training in addition to the great content you get on demand. Now, we know what you're thinking, but this is already incredibly great stuff, and how could it possibly get better? All I can say is wait until we're in front of you. When we gather the best of the best from across this planet and even beyond and assemble an instructional cadre that is seriously second to none. And now we have a ton of ways to help you, your team, or your organization get to a level that makes everybody proud. From subscriptions, on-demand, hybrid methods to full in-person goodness. You can contact me, Bob, at thehazmatguys.com to schedule a call and find a solution that works for you. And every participant of an in-person class gets a free one-year premium subscription, which sounds pretty good. So contact me at Bob at thehazmatguys.com and get some more information. I would, man, that's a tough one. I would expect it. Let me think about this for 1 second. I'm going to say there is going to be a point where it does not saturate anymore.
Okay, so what are your, and that's great, what is your thought process behind that, right? Like in your head, when you close your eyes, what are you envisioning? Are you envisioning like an equilibrium where the leak is greater than the vent, or the vent is greater than the leak?
No, I'm just thinking about pure like chemistry, like the stoichiometry of this thing, right? So if you have an area that has 100% volume and you can't have any more than 100 because that's just silly. So if I have let's call it 20% of R404A, therefore I only have 80% of air in there.
Okay.
Right, because 80 plus 20 equals 100 and you can't have more than 100. So at a certain point, if the leak keeps coming in with a higher pressure than the air, yes, it would force air out, but it would also force itself out.
Right.
So what if in this box, now I'm quickly looking up the vapor density of it, 3.47. So let's say my vent hole or where it's leaking out of, like, okay, it filled the box, but where is it coming out of the box to be, you know, let go? What if that is on the floor?
Well, he said that the readings were found equal in all areas and heights within the space.
Okay, well, the blowers are probably blowing that shit all around,
yes,
right?
Yes, 100%.
So there is no stratification in there because the blowers are doing their best to move it around.
Right, so we can't even gather any information from that.
No.
So when I see something like that, I figure there's three possible options. And I'm going to eliminate one of them because it's a freezer, and I'll explain why. Walk-in freezers are exceptionally well sealed.
True. Right?
They're not perfect, but in order to keep things super, super cold at freezer temperatures, there needs to be a decent amount of insulation, and it needs to be decently sealed.
I agree. Okay.
Right. So my first thought, or one of my thoughts, is a leak of a flammable gas. Like, let's take, say, propane, for instance, or natural gas, whatever. If the leak in is equal to the leak out, I agree. Your stoichiometry starts to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because now your air is coming out at the same rate that air is coming in. If there's not a lot of ventilation, but there is the same readings 2 days later, then you are dealing with a limited quantity of flammable gas.
Yes.
Okay. Or there was an initial leak and it's so well sealed up that there was no movement at all.
I agree. And the only way to figure that out is, and God, honestly, this is my diagnostic, and this is kind of how I'd play that. If I had, let's say we figured out those three different options, your move is going to be to open, vent, close.
Yes, right. Exactly. Open, vent, close, read. Now, we can do that in several ways, right? We can blow air in from the outside. We can even take air bottles, go inside there, and try to blow the air out, like try to replace it with fresh air that we know of. But yes, we would go in, we would try to replace the air with fresh air, close everything down, and see what happens.
Yes.
Okay.
And so if it does get better, then the leak is done, and whatever was in there was residual, right? And if it does not get better, the leak is still ongoing, and it's matching the leak, the rate of release through the seams.
Right.
Right? That's how I would kind of see.
Yep. And then I would kind of play with it from there like that, 100%. Okay. So this is now, I'm assuming that because I'm playing out in my head the way that we would have walked in. We would not have even realized that there was something else going on, right? We have the, we know that it's R404 because he told us. But right. walking down into this, we're just walking in and there's a flammable atmosphere.
Right.
What would transpire is we would vent, we would close, and we would find out that the readings went back up to 17 or 20% relatively quickly.
Okay.
Which would indicate to me that there is a limited gas leak. There's a leak of material, but for whatever reason, that material is only limited to 20% of the LEL.
Yes.
Right? Because I can add as much of this product as I want, but because it's not going above 20% no matter what I do, that means that the amount of gas that is present is finite.
I agree.
Okay. So right there, if you were to start to look around, and at some point they realized there was an R404A. If you look up R404A, right, and here's the problem, everybody, with just turning around and clicking on, I'm clicking on Cameo for this, right? And 404A, oh, no, that was the one that I wanted. Here we go. 404A gives me non-flammable.
Yep, that's what I got. I'm on a Euro DSS.
There's no flammability.
Yep.
So you turn around and you go, huh, that can't be it. But we have to remember what a flammable gas is, right? A flammable gas, this goes back to, this is one of the first things we teach in hazmat class about ammonia, right? It's a non-flammable, flammable gas because of the definition of flammability.
Yes.
So the definition of flammability, I want to say it has to have an LEL that's less than, right, 15%, something like that.
Right.
So if you look down at what this is made up of, it's made up of three chemicals. 111 trifluoroethane, mm-hmm. pentafluoroethane, 1112 tetrafluoroethane. Those are the three chemicals. Now, really, really quickly, I did a search for each one of them. And the first one that popped up is a highly flammable gas.
Ah.
Highly flammable with, let's see if I can find the immediate LEL UEL. And I can't off the top of my head, and I won't waste the 20 minutes to do it. But it is it is a highly flammable gas. Now, if you were to take, and let's say this is divided by thirds, right? Each one of these gases represents a third, which I don't know if it does. And the other two are totally non-flammable. That means the mixture of this gas will never produce an LEL reading above 30%.
Because of the way it's mixed. You know what? That's a good point too.
So there's two things going on that we can never say. We can never say that because I'm getting an LEL reading, I have a flammable material.
Right.
Because no matter how much of this stuff leaks, right, it's never going above 17% or 20%. And if it's a third of the thing, it'll never go above 33% on your LEL. That is the max you're ever going to get. So because it doesn't even have an LEL, there is no lower explosive limit. It's not a flammable gas, but it is comprised of flammable gases.
I like that. Yes.
Right?
You know, I'm going to put something up. I don't know what screen's going to share. Let's see. Share. A little birdie put this in my craw. Have you ever seen this?
No.
This is brand new. And again, we're not selling this stuff. But somebody told me about this. I wish we
were for that amount.
It's a measly $21,499.99. But this little thing from Fluke, which makes electric meters and all that stuff, this thing acoustically finds a gas leak. And it puts on like a thermal imager, but when it hears a gas leak, it puts a little bullseye on it. And so you can walk through an entire area and find cylinders that are leaking. I thought this was one of the coolest things I have ever. I have never put my hands on this. I have not seen it in action. But if this thing is even a tenth of what I think it can do, this could change the game for hazmat responses.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I wonder how much has to be leaking. Like, you know, we've had those runs. We've had, you know, cylinders, tens of cylinders.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that there's acetylene, but we don't know which one it is. I think
this thing will detect a 0.005 cubic feet per minute at 100 PSI from 32 feet away.
Wow.
That's like a whisper. It's probably like a fart.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it will be tested.
That's how we're going to test it. Wow. Yeah, I've never played with it. I've never seen it, but this thing was put across somebody emailed to me and I said, that looks pretty cool. And that might be something, if you got boatloads of money, this might be something for you.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But that's a good topic, man. That was an interesting way of doing it. I forgot, you know what? I didn't even put together, because when you have multiple gases in mixture, and you can do this with, like, you know, chemistry and stuff like that, you can figure out the vapor pressure of a mixture.
Right.
You know, because if A is 100 and B is 200 and C is 300, well, you don't add them up and it's not the average, but you can figure it out. And so based upon, I didn't even think about that. Damn it. Like, you know, you could figure out what the maximum flammable range will be based upon, like, the molecular weight and all this stuff.
Right.
So it's a little deeper. Maybe we can do that in a nugget, how to actually do that. But that might be a little nerdville for everybody.
Yeah, we got nerds out there.
I guess so.
But I would venture to say, barring correction factors, yep, that if they're getting between 17 to 22% on their Altair, that 17 to 22% of the product around about there, you know, is going to be that chemical 111 trifluoroethane.
Yeah. It's worth a wager. Interesting. All right. Well, nice one. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.